Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday morning edition of Benzinga's Prep. Spencer Israel is always joined by Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick on the show today. We're discussing the follow-through from yesterday's trading action in GE. Coke got a big upgrade this morning from Wells Fargo. We've got that Buffalo Wild Wings potential takeover there. We'll talk about the latest developments with Amazon, and maybe they're not getting into the pharmaceutical space after all. And that's just a few of the things to discuss. We'll take your questions in our chat, as always, at premarket.benzinga.com. And our guest today is Nick Shaheen. He joins us every Tuesday at 8:35. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Joel, how's it going this morning in the S&Ps?
We have a new phenomenon here.
What's that?
S&Ps are set to open lower, perhaps, for the fourth day in a row.
Is that bad?
I just think the world is coming to an end. But as yesterday, you saw on the show, opened up near the lows and rallied all day. So let's just get to the important levels. We got to overtake that close of 82 even, pre-market high, 82 and a quarter. On the downside, pre-market low 75 and a quarter. I'm really not paying much attention to that. Big number on the downside is your lows from Friday and Monday, right there at the 25.70 area. So that's all that matters here to see if we're going to have any downside. Let's look at the crude oil market, really trying to stay in the $57 handle. That hasn't happened here. Ooh, one, two, three, lower highs. But not lower lows yet. We're looking for a break of yesterday's low at 56.30 for a breakdown in the crude oil market. And gold just can't catch a bid no matter what happens. Down 360, 1275.40. Silver back under $17. It's 16.98. Dennis, a lot of great things to discuss. But at the top of the show here, I just want to congratulate Fuzzy, who made a great call in General Electric yesterday saying it will go red on the session. Dennis, tell us that you just got out of the GE.
Quit picking on me on GE. You know I still own in my investment portfolio. I think I'm going to forbid talking about GE on the show too.
Bring it up right now.
I have 104 stocks in my portfolio. The only one you talk about is my GE loser.
I want to talk about this for just a couple different reasons here.
At least it's less money than it used to be. So, you know, as I lose money now, I'm losing less, because when it goes down 10% on $19, it's not nearly as much as it was when it was $30.
I just want to say, how could the pre-market traders just get this so? I mean, obviously there was buyers and sellers here, but 2106, it popped there a couple times. Never, if they get opened at like 2026. I mean, how can it get it so wrong, Dennis, in the pre-market trading?
You know what? It's just overhead. And this is the one thing. It's all about institutional money that moves stocks. So you can say anything. It's mostly shorter-term traders that are trading in the pre-market. There's not a lot of institutions that are coming in with big money in the pre-market. There might be one or two, and if there is, they will really move price. But for the most part, the big liquidity comes in, and you know, you get the Fidelities and Templetons, they're saying, okay, we want out. We're done with this position. But they come in when the real liquidity comes in at 9:30, because they know if they try to dump in the pre-market, it's not as liquid. When the regular session starts, it's very liquid. So, you know, so that's one consideration, is the real money came in and spoke yesterday. And it's sad luck. You know, GE is not figuring this out, or they're not going to figure out anytime soon. We don't want any part of it. And I think there's more pain ahead. You know, I'm going to stick with my long-term investment in GE just because. I don't know why. I probably should have dumped it a long time ago. But hindsight's 2020. It's 1902 here now. Maybe it's going to continue to go lower here. You know, I don't know where it's going, short-term, long-term. I'm going to stick with it long-term. But short-term, the trend is not your friend here. Absolutely do not like this on the charts, taking out the 20 support.
I know what
you know how I like my two-day move. So, you know, here I am talking against my book here again, but if it takes out the 1875 low, I think it's the 18 bucks.
You know what, so, Dennis? I think you just, I know why you're not selling it.
Why?
Because you want to take a bigger tax loss at the end of the year. So
I got to offset all those big trading gains I got.
Yeah, exactly.
So I need the loss to be bigger. That's the first time I've heard of strategy like that. But anyways, I don't know if I'm going to even take the tax loss at the end of the year. We'll see. This isn't like, it's not like a penny stock that's, you know, got no business at all. It's just a company that's, you know, in a mess right now. Can they figure it out? Well, I keep it in my invest portfolio, so I'm banking they are going to eventually figure it out here again. Remember, I rode GE from, you know, $35 down to $6 in the financial crisis too. Came all the way back to 30. I probably should have sold. And, you know, it's back down to 19. So I've been in a lot worse shape in GE before when in the financial crisis, when Warren Buffett basically had to bail them out because they were going out of business there with the crazy preferred stock that he wrote them just to give them, just to infuse some cash into them. But, you know, that was a different time. That was during the financial crisis. GE is no excuse for this. I mean, every other company is doing well. And here you are, you know, one of the best companies, you know, that over the history, you know, of the stock market has not been one of the best companies in the last 17 years. And, you know, maybe it was ML. You probably should have sold when Jack Welch got out back in the early 2000s, but it's a mess.
Two things here. One is from Jimmy A, and they said they should change their name to GE Blockchain. I think
that you know what? If they did that, if they got involved in the blockchain, that thing would be $30 tomorrow. That's what they should do.
And
anybody gets involved in the blockchain, you're going up.
And Spinner made a great point. They sold cheap assets. What's that SYF? Is that what the secret effect?
And you know what? This is where I messed up. Because here you had the option like last year when Synchrony Financial, when they were spinning that off. So you can go to the charts and see when that was because you can see how much history there is there. Okay, well, it wasn't last year. It was back in 2015 or whatever. When they were spinning off their Synchrony Financial SYF, they gave you the choice. You could stay with GE or you could go into Synchrony Financial SYF. And for whatever reason, I chose to stay with GE and that was a wrong choice because you could have had, you know, however many shares, let's say you had 1,000 shares of GE. You could have, you know, traded those in for 1,000 shares of SYF. Obviously, SYF's $32 now and GE is $19. So whoever did that, congratulations. That was the correct call. I made the incorrect call of staying with GE. Basically, thinking that they were just starting to figure it out. That was back when the stock was $31 and looking okay. Well, you know, they didn't obviously figure it out. And they spun off one of their best assets, the Synchrony Financial one. And we're stuck with the oil. We're stuck with all the other garbage that they're trying to figure out what to do with now. Just a mess. But, you know, we bashed them yesterday.
Okay,
you know,
we move on.
Who was it that said the time to buy is when there's blood in the streets with Baron Rothschild, right? There's blood on the streets.
That's what I do, too.
There's blood on the streets, Dennis.
I do that in my invest portfolio all the time. And it works sometimes and it doesn't work other times. It depends on the companies you're picking. Like I bought, you know, and just, you know, if we're wanting to go into this, you know, and I've got a lot of other companies that I've bought when there's been blood in the streets there too. Some of them worked out and some of them haven't. I bought BP when there was blood in the streets. That one didn't work out really because I bought it around, you know, when it went from 70 down to 40, I bought it around 40. And here we are, it's still around $39. So there was one that really didn't work out. But there's been other ones too I bought. You know, the pharmaceutical companies, a lot of them had blood in the streets a while back. And those were all great buys, you know, that I was buying when I was buying Lilly for $28 and Merck for, you know, $20 or $25. I'm going back quite a few years here now. But that's sometimes the time to stick them in your investment portfolio and forget about them when everybody else hates them. Just like Walmart, which I wanted to buy, JP Morgan, which I wanted to buy, which, you know, when I had the whale trade there. So sometimes that is the case, Spencer. You know, you stick them in your invest portfolio and you forget about them. The concern here is this GE is a real mess. They're spinning off assets. They're trying to figure it out. This could be a mess for a while. So I don't know if there's any hurry to come in here and jump in GE.
All right.
Yes, I am still in BP.
All right. 1802. That was your low in June of 2012.
We got to go back 5 years. All right. Let's move on to the stocks of the day and the earnings of the day. Actually, I'm not even going to start with earnings here, though. I'm going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings, which I tell you, I have been having some bad luck in my invest portfolio lately because I talked about this one on the show ahead of the earnings that I wanted to buy BWLD in my invest portfolio. I was starting to like it from a valuation perspective. And that was when the stock was $100, but I didn't want to take it through the report. So I was going to wait till after the report. Well, we know it reported earnings and gapped up $20. And then I was like, ugh. And then I, you know, I complained about it on the show and, you know, obviously complained. And it came back down to 111. It never got back down to the lower hundreds where I wanted to buy it. And now all of a sudden it looks like it's going to get taken over. And it's at $148. And it's like, man, you know, I've had a little bad run in that invest portfolio. I only do about one or two trades a month in my invest portfolio, if I even do that. And my last couple trades have just been sour because I bought AMD, which was no good. I didn't sell GE. I didn't buy Buffalo Wild Wings, so I'm complaining about the ones I didn't do. And the other one I didn't buy, which I wanted to buy and was on my list, was First Solar. And that was because our buddy Gordon Johnson loved it at $48. And I always like Gordo. He seems to know his stuff. And the other would be the only reason I was buying. I bought the CSIQ, which was a good one. But the First Solar, I did not. And it's up at 62 here now. So I chose the wrong stock and buying AMD. I got all excited with the Tesla stuff that turned out to be fake news. And I didn't buy First Solar. And I didn't buy my Buffalo Wild Wings. Joel Spencer, give us the number or the details here for BWLD as it's trading up 25% today and makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, an offer from Rourke Capital for $150 a share. They
rumor still, right? Or is it official yet?
No, well, no. It's a report that there's an offer. There's nothing about a deal in place, but it's a report of an offer. That's a lot of wings, is all I'll say.
If they don't take that, I don't know. I mean, they're taking that for sure. Dennis, for 153, that's your pre-market high. You're starting to leak. I don't know what the price is on that. But instead of giving technicals on a stock to maybe be taken over here, can we just go to sympathy plays on this one? Because
Panera. We got BWLD trading up on that news, $30. And I actually did make some money on some sympathy last night. As soon as that headline broke, well, my BWLD is gone, I went automatically to Chipotle, CMG. I already had Chipotle on my list because I liked it for the reversal it had yesterday. And then I was able to buy some after hours at 278. And I snuck out of them at 281 last night too. So I got about a 1% move there on Chipotle on the sympathy plays. But I was trying to play a bunch of them. I tried to get Wingstop, W-I-N-G. That one I think is going to be up probably big tier today because that's obviously a pure play there. Yep. You know, I was looking at stuff like Red Robin, RRGB. That's bit up. I couldn't get that one. I got a couple other ones. But, you know, the CMG, I don't know why, but that one always seems to show some life when you have, you know, it seems to somewhat move with it. It shouldn't really. I mean, it's just a restaurant to a restaurant. But a lot of people have traded that with it to a certain extent. So I don't know. I actually like the CMG just for a couple reasons here. And, you know, I've hated CMG forever, so we know I've had that one right. But I like that chart from yesterday. There was a headline. The headline turned out maybe not to be accurate there. That was knocking it down. It came all the way back, got all the losses back, and almost tried to close. Did it close in the green?
Let's see here. Let me
close previous day.
No.
79. No, it did not.
But you know what? Forget this. This 15-minute pre-market chart. Look at the dailies here, and look at this roof on this thing. Since I gapped down after earnings, and that highest level's 283.99. We haven't reached that yet. So that's my bogey, man. Because you get above 283.99, 284. What do you got up there? Come on, chat. Tell me what we have in the book if we can get above. I mean, there'll be stuff there, but eventually, what you expect to fill the gap and that gap fill? I mean, it won't happen immediately. 318.25. So I like the air in there. And wasn't there rumors about McDonald's or something? I know McDonald's spun this off, and I don't know why they would want to reacquire it, but
I never heard those rumors.
You never did?
That might have been your dreams again. No, you know, Spencer. Confusing it with reality. Joel dreams of stuff up in his sleep, and then he thinks it's reality because he's getting older now. So he confuses his dreams with reality sometimes.
Go to pro. Someone help me out on this one. CMG, how about that lunch that you eked out here?
I did get the lunch on you there. I got the lunch on you because it was the bet on Friday that the SPY would not. I don't think S&P futures didn't go green, but the SPY did. So I got you because the SPY ticked up by a nickel or something. So I did get another lunch on you, which I'm going to collect quickly.
Okay.
But, you know, CMG. If this thing can get above the highs there of 283.99, which you're talking about there, and get into that gap area, there's a big gap area there. I like it. I like the candle from yesterday. I think the jury is still out here in the 280 to 283 area because there's a huge amount of resistance. It needs to get above there. And I don't know if it's going to be the catalyst today, the Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, potential acquisition and push it over, but it doesn't hurt. And it is getting bit up in the pre-market there. It was getting bit up last night, actively trading the 280 and 281 handle there before S&Ps are down. I kind of like the stock today. I kind of like CMG today.
All right. I'm not going to argue with this.
I haven't liked CMG forever, so I'm feeling CMG. Also, like we were saying, Wing, RGB is another potential sympathy play here. I mean, there's a million restaurants. If you want to just list off all the restaurants, here's top 30 restaurants that are listed. I mean, I don't know if it's going to kickstart all these week. You're like Cracker Barrel, CBRL. You could go, a lot of these have been in the doghouse too. So, you know, all of a sudden you get a big acquisition there. Sometimes it does kickstart it. You could even think like Wendy's has been in the doghouse, WEN. You could go like Cheesecake Factory, Benner was saying.
Red Robin, RRGB.
RRGB's bet up a buck. I think this helps all those stocks today. I think you could see a little bit of a rally in the restaurant stocks today. Jack in the Box, you could think about JACK. There's another one that really hasn't been doing much. You know, there's Yum Brands, but Yum Brands a big one.
Too big.
Yeah, sometimes the big ones don't move as much because they're obviously not targets. You know, the reason the sympathy sometimes works is because traders think, okay, well, Buffalo Wild Wings is getting bought, you know, and what else is small out there that might get scooped up by somebody else? Well, McDonald's isn't getting scooped up by anybody. They're the ones that would potentially be the scooping. Yum is the same thing. They're too big. So that's why you look at the little ones like Red Robin. You can look at the Wingstop, W-I-N-G, which is wings directly. The Cheesecake Factory cake is a smaller one as well. I don't think anybody's coming to scoop Chipotle, but it just sometimes gets some love there when Buffalo Wild Wings moves. I've noticed that relationship before. So there's a few stocks for you to think about.
All right.
I like the restaurant stocks today. I think this gives them a lift.
Okay. Now do you want to go to their earnings?
Sure. Let's go over to the earnings. And the one I'm kicking myself a lot lately in my investment portfolio because I thought about sticking Advance Auto Parts in there too, AAP. Actually, I wasn't more in the investment portfolio. I just thought about taking it long overnight because I've been talking about these stocks. I've been dogs. And these retail stocks have been popping on just okay earnings. A lot of scenarios last night set up that AAP would go up. And I haven't even looked at the report, but it's trading up 12%. So I'm assuming one of those scenarios hit. And I had it last night. I actually had it after hours. And I'm like, man, I should take this through the report. And I'm telling myself, I'm feeling it. I think it's going to gap up. And then I looked at the chart in August, and it gapped down $20 on the last report. I kept looking at that, and I was like, I can't stomach the risk. I'm like, because if they, you know, miss, it's going to be down another 10% tomorrow or more. And I don't feel like losing $10 on something. So I sold it last night after hours. And obviously now they beat. So, you know, I should have went with my gut and took it through the report, but I didn't have the guts to do it.
The numbers for AAP, EPS was good, $1.43 versus $1.21. Sales was not, $2.182 billion versus a $2.21 billion estimate. So they slightly missed on the sales number. They did, however, reaffirm their guidance for the fiscal year.
Stock's dirt cheap. That's the bottom line, is these things have gotten too cheap. Like, how much did they just make that quarter?
Oh, I just took it off my screen. AAP, they made $1.43.
$1.43. So, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, consistent with all the other quarters, but let's just say they make $6 or $7. I mean, the thing's trading on a multiple 12 or 13. And maybe it's less than that because some of these other quarters might be better. I don't know. You look at it at $82, the thing's trading on the P of 11. Well, I mean, they've just gotten cheap to where they were.
We can see they made $1.58 previous report, $1.60, $1, $1.73, $1.90.
I mean, this company easily can make, you know, $6 to $7, $8. They make money. So, you know, are cars going away? Are auto parts going away? Can you buy these things on Amazon? Yes. But, I mean, we have beat these stocks up too much. That's the bottom line. It was the same thing with Buffalo Wild Wings. They got beat up too much. If you go out to the weeklies or even go out to the monthlies, Advance Auto Parts was a $200 stock back in November of 2015. Now it's $82. It's back to the levels it was trading 11 and 12. They got too cheap. And this is, you know, the contrarian, where the contrarian plays sometimes work. You know, if you had anybody on Fast Money, they probably hated this stock because it was trending down, and they all just go with the flow there. But, you know, I'll tell you, from the best trades that I do or best investments that I do are when there is blood in the streets. And there's blood all over this chart. And here you are immediately getting rewarded with 13% because, you know what? Investors are actually buying these stocks on crappy or okay reports.
This is kind of after the fact, Jack, here, but look at all the monthly lows that you had in CMG at the $80 level going back to, not CMG, Advanced Auto Parts, June, July, August, and September back in 2013, 79-47, 81-03, 79-33, and 78-91. You're looking at a monthly chart. You got to call that $80 on the nose. Low of the move, 78-81. Now you're trading up at the 90 handle. I got a number for you guys to look at on the upside here because we're not going to be at $80 today. But there is a double top to contend with here. From October 5th and October 6th. This is up in the 95 handle at 95.85, 95.67, coincides with your pre-market high. I'll go with that. I mean, if that holds, and we could back and fill on this one. If not, you got a $3 gap up to 98.41. But all the people that have options, you know, shorter term options from 80 to 90 early in the week might be ringing their register on this big overnight move.
Somebody asking in the chat, do you see about O'Reilly? Obviously, this is a sympathy play with Advance Auto Parts. It's going to be up here today. It's going to be breaking out of this 220 area potentially. That's the big level for ORLY. If it can get up over the 220, it's in breakout mode. And these stocks were just beat up too. The only thing, O'Reilly bounced back already quite a bit from its lows. It was down to 170. It's already 50 points off its lows. Not like Advance Auto Parts, which was hanging out around it. Also, if you look over at AutoZone, which is the other one that it's going to get a sympathy move off this, AZebra-O, that's up $5 or $10 here this morning already. Bid up $5, traded an odd out of $15. That's over 100 points off its lows too. So they've come back a little bit already. So Advance Auto Parts playing a little bit of catch up here this morning. So I think you'll have a sympathy move in ORLY in AutoZone. I don't think it's going to be as big, you know, as, you know, obviously the Advance Auto Parts move.
What about the smaller SORL?
Satilli Auto Parts.
Question, right? From a chat. No.
I don't follow this company, so this is something I know nothing about. I know I've traded the stock maybe, but I don't follow from a fundamental perspective at all.
Yep.
Nice chart. I don't know. The chart looks okay, though. It's auto parts. Probably going to be up.
Do they
bid up? 625 bid, 624 close, 675 offer. So it looks like it's going to get bid up.
Error between 650 and 7 on that one. Dennis, do they have these companies over in Canada?
They got a couple of them. They don't have them all. And it's funny, the retail in Canada. Some of the companies come over to Canada, some of them don't. It's just different, you know, like, you know, Target came over and had a rough time in Canada. It's different demographics. It's different type of shoppers. So sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I don't know if we have any of the big three. I'm trying
I think that you have O'Reilly, but it's a different
brand. We don't have O'Reilly.
No, it's called O'Reilly. O'Reilly is not. It's called A-Reilly.
Funny. But I'm trying to think if we have Advance Auto Parts. We have a couple auto parts producers. I don't know if any of the big three are over in Canada, though. It's interesting, you know, because sometimes they come over and sometimes they don't. So, you know, we know Walmart's been, I think Walmart, Canadian Walmarts are some of the most profitable Walmarts in the world. So Canada loves Walmart. So Target naturally thinks, okay, they're going to love Target too. Canada hated Target. And for whatever reason, I went into a couple of those Target stores, and I think it was supplier issues and stuff. They just didn't have the kind of stuff that they do at Target in the States. So, you know, you have to get different suppliers when you're over there. Maybe they couldn't find the right chain. I don't know what they did wrong, but we know Target lost like $6 billion trying to come into Canada. So some things work in Canada that work in the States, and some things don't. It's kind of weird. None of your breakfast places work in Canada, though.
Oh, like Tim a Denny's Hortons.
Or a Bob Evans. You want to know why?
Tim Hortons.
Yeah. Everybody just goes to Tim Hortons in Canada. They have a monopoly on breakfast, basically. McDonald's fights them a little bit there. McDonald's does okay with them, but everybody goes to their Tim Hortons. They get their coffee and their donut. Canada's just not big on eating a big breakfast. They go and they get the coffee and their donut, and they're off to work and their drive through. Maybe it's because, I don't know why it is, but I'll tell you, Dennis, Tim Hortons has a monopoly on breakfast in Canada.
Dennis, I believe there is one Advance Auto Parts in Edmonton. I think you should go there.
Up to Edmonton. Don't talk about the Oilers. We can't talk. Don't talk about the city of Edmonton right now, because all I think about is my poor Oilers with Connor McDavid.
Fine.
And they can't get them any line and can't get them any help on that team. Don't get me wound up in sports, Spencer.
I'm saying there was an AAP in Edmonton.
Now you got me mad. Back to the stock.
Do you know who is a big sponsor of Edmonton Oilers? Does a lot of advertising. General Electric.
I'm moving
Joel
on now.
Trying to be funny.
He's piling on now. Moving
on that one. I'm giving you crickets on that one. Back to the stocks. Home Depot. Stop picking on me. Everybody picks on me. General Electric and Oilers. You know how many times I hear that in a day?
All right, Home Depot. Home Depot.
Dick's Sporting Goods. Or Dick's. DKS. Well, it should be my dad's store with my last name. Anyways, Dick's Sporting Goods, $25.40. Trading down a buck in the pre-market. Whoa. Spencer details.
30 cents is a 4 cent beat on the estimate. 26 cents was the estimate. Sales of a buck, $1.94 billion versus $1.89 billion. So they beat on the sales. They beat on the EPS. Their Q4 EPS guidance coming in a little higher than the estimate. $1.12 was the estimate, and $1.12 to $1.14 is what they see for the quarter. Fiscal year guidance got raised, actually. Their fiscal year EPS guidance, that is, got raised by about 12 cents.
What's going on here? This all sounds okay. This doesn't follow our thesis that they reported an okay quarter and it's a retail stock. It's still down. It's happening.
It went to 30.27. I don't know what happened.
Did it really?
Yeah, it did.
No.
Yes,
it did. $30. Who buys this at $30? Dick's Sporting Goods.
So, you know what? On that bracket. And this was this morning. We had almost 500,000 shares trade on that bracket, Dennis.
Wow. That's a lot of volume. Well, they were following the thesis early, and then it gave it all back. Maybe they said something on the conference call. Wow. Don't buy retail stocks up 20%.
Let's see here.
Because comeback.
This is an interesting stock here because you're cutting through a double bottom here at 25.90 area. So I guess if you really want to hold on, try and pick it up on the cheap. Your three-day low is 24.87, and then you have a quad of lows at 24. But I don't know. I mean, I think this one may get bought up. I don't think it's going to, you know, chance to end up positive on the day. Not a bad report. The short saw it go over $30. A lot of volume traded. They pulled back. Now you hit 24.50. I think you got a slow accumulation going on. So I don't know. I mean, I look at this saying long term, if it got back down to 24, who did we have on the show that liked this? I know the Reverend was talking about Hibbett Sports. Did we have someone that was talking about Dick's Sporting Goods?
I can't remember.
Someone did.
I'll tell you, I don't, you know, even though it's got the cool name, I don't like it because these are big stores.
Yep.
And they fit the whole bill of, you know, something. And, you know, sure, some of these things are maybe overdone. Maybe they're going to show some life here and there. But these are huge stores that, you know, they just can't compete with Amazon. And they can't compete with, you know, the expenses. Like, I mean, Amazon's always made a lot of undercut their prices because they own the expenses of running those huge stores. Those are huge stores, Joel, those Dick's.
I know. I've been in them. I tell you.
There's like canoes. There's boats. There's all kinds of stuff going on in there. I mean, they're big stores. Too big.
I go there more than I go to Advanced Auto Parts or O'Reilly's, I'll tell you that.
Advanced Auto Parts is small, though. Like, those things are – and those things sell stuff. Like, I like those just because, you know, you can go on Amazon. But here's, you know, why I think, you know, Advanced Auto Parts and O'Reilly, you're not always going to be buying online. Because I got my buddy who's got his own shop. He's got his own mechanic shop. And, you know, and they go and they get the parts and they bring them in and they come in. But, I mean, you need your auto parts when they're figuring out. They need them today. Like, they don't, you know, it's, you know, you can't wait like 2 days to get your auto part because they're fixing a car right now. They need that stuff. So, you know, a lot of times they just run over. Those guys deliver the parts over to the shops and they fix them right there. It's on-demand stuff. You need those auto parts quick. You know, if you're doing the stuff yourself, you don't need it today. But you got a mechanic shop, you need those parts like right now. And you can't wait a day or two for it to come from Amazon. So I still think there is, you know, a lot of life in Advanced Auto Parts and AutoZone. And, you know, and unless you think, you know, everybody's not going to own a car and you're going with the whole autonomous cars and in 20 years, nobody's going to have cars. It's, you know, and then I have to worry about those expenses. You know, I don't know if I'm, you know, there yet on that argument. So I think, you know, stocks like Advanced Auto Parts are dirt cheap. I think Dick's is cheap as well. I think Dick's is a value trap. I think Advanced Auto Parts has value to it.
It was Sean, I believe, who said that. Sean compared it to Best Buy. Thank you, Lizzie, on our news desk for the link.
He compared Dick's to Best Buy?
Yeah.
And he thinks they're going to figure it out, do the price matching, and turn it around then, because that's what Best Buy did.
That's what he compared it to.
Yeah. You know, there's an argument. It's cheap. So if you think that can happen, it's cheap. But I don't know if I think that can happen. Now, Best Buy, they figured it out. And, you know, and obviously, you know, and me and Joel had this one wrong because I thought Amazon was like trying to put them out of business when the stock went down to $11. And, you know, it's come all the way back up here. And people go in there and they do their price matching and they get their whatever electronic they want to do today. But, you know, the difference, though, is like, when you're going into Best Buy and you're looking at the cool electronics and stuff, you know, you kind of, you know, I'm in there, oh, I want to go home and play with this. I want to do this. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can argue the same thing for Dick's Sporting Goods, but I feel like it's just, it's a different type of product.
Okay. All right.
I feel like I could wait 2 days for the Dick's Sporting Goods product. And, you know, you could wait 2 days for the Best Buy product as well, but I feel like the Best Buy products are more exciting because they're all tech-related.
They're all techy and you want to get them in your hand, right?
Kind of. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reaching there, but, you know, I'm trying to figure out why Best Buy, you know, has turned it around, and there's a lot of reasons there.
And if you only play hockey once a week, you can wait for a new pair of skates to come in, right?
It's true. It's true. Right? You sharpen those skates or get them fixed. All right. We've had a lot of other earnings reports. We've had a lot of other stuff. Spencer, where do you want it? It's 8:30. Imbalances just came out too. I tell you about that. I tell you about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, do we do Home Depot yet?
No, let's do Home Depot.
Home Depot, $1.84 is a 2 cent beat on the EPS. Sales of 25.03 billion versus 24.53 billion. So they beat on the sales. They beat on the EPS. They're also raising their fiscal year EPS guidance by 5 cents.
I was in a Home Depot yesterday.
And what
did I bought? I did. I bought something, so it's gonna have $30 more of revenue.
Okay.
I bought my kid at Home Depot. I bought my kid a rocking horse. So not really something for the home. Well, I guess it's for the home. So I guess they sell stuff that goes in your home as well, not just stuff to fix your home. But yeah, Home Depot. I was there yesterday. They don't sell window wells though, so you know, I didn't like that fact because I asked them about a window well. I'm gonna have to build one myself. I need a little window well in my one part of my house. So they don't sell them anymore. So disappointed with Home Depot for that fact. Get some window wells in those stores. Anyways, give us technicals.
Pop up to $169.90. That would be a new all-time high in Home Depot if you got back to that area. But sellers came in and knocked it down under yesterday's low of 164.25. But we're safely above that right now. So just stay green on the day, which we are by over $1.24 here, or that's where we ended up yesterday. You're trading green by only 25 cents here. It's not a lot of wiggle room here, but I like to see it stay green on the day. If not, that pre-market low is below yesterday's low, which was 64.25. But, man, I just like 3 15-minute brackets in a row when you make a low around 160.5. I think you'll see a buyer there in the regular session if, in fact, we do get back down to that area.
Let's go SSYS, Stratasys. We haven't talked to it. Somebody in the chat wanted it. It's popping on their earnings report here, SSYS details.
8 cents versus a 5 cent estimate, sales of 115.9 million versus 155 million versus 161 million. So they missed on the sales and they beat by 3 cents on the adjusted EPS. They are also raising their fiscal year EPS guidance and they're tightening their sales guidance for the fiscal year.
Done with all these 3D companies. I think HPQ is going to eat all their lunch. And I think if you're interested in investing in the 3D printing market, I think it's HPQ as your vehicle. So I don't know. It's getting a nice pop here. I think it gets met with sellers. I think this is a stock that, you know, I definitely am not chasing myself. I think it's actually one I'm interested in shorting on the pop.
22.10. That is your pre-market high. You've backed off into the 21 dollar handle, and that's a good area because you have a couple highs there. One high at 22.21. So even if you get back up to that 22.10 area, keep an eye at 22.21, and then a bunch of highs in the mid 22 handle.
And also reporting last night was TJX, or actually this morning, TJX, and it's getting the beats here. So here you're, you know, that store that it's got everything, you know. I go in those stores and stuff's cheap in there, and these stores, you know, typically do okay. But this is also a retailer that hasn't been beat up much. It's getting beat up here this morning. Spencer, details on the TJX report.
I haven't seen the report yet. Maybe it just came
you don't
out.
Have the report. It's got to be out there. Maybe it's down $4.
Someone in the chat said that someone's tagging it. Someone thinks they know something about these.
Hang on, no, it's out. Hang on, I'm going to grab it. It's TJX. They broke at 8:31, so the numbers just came out 3 minutes ago. They had $1 versus $1, so it looks like in line. I'm just trying to quickly give it to you. It looks like Q3 comps were light. Yeah, the comps were zero, and they were estimated to be 2.3%. So that's why they're hitting it. They maintain their full-year outlook. But the comps were the issue here. So comps were down. Actually, comps were flat. They were supposed to be up 2.3%. That's why they're tagging it. Okay. I don't do the earnings as well, Spencer, but.
All right. Big level here. Former low of the move at 66.66. Ooh, I don't know if people like that number. We just hit 66.02. So get it back above 66.66. Got a chance to rally. Now it's acting as a little bit of resistance. They're really pounding this thing. This is one where you want to keep an eye on that pre-market low right before the session open. Let's see here. I got another. Where's this weekly low at? Another weekly low. If you got to throw a bid out there. You had back in January, you had a low at 65, 64. All right, we're a little late to call Nick here. You want to call him on the hop?
I just did.
Okay.
Nick Shaheen. He is the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Product is on MarketFi. He joins us every Tuesday. His Twitter handle, @RacerNick. Nick, how's it going?
That's me.
That's you. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
We're doing okay. We're doing okay. What's on your radar this morning?
I was just trying to see how they the market reacts to the earnings and see how well we hold the little dip. It's been, 4 days in a row where we wake up to a small little tizzy in the market. By small, I mean like 5 or 6 points in the S&P. Just to see how the yen is moving, how the bonds are moving, and how gold is moving. These are usually three things that when markets trip, they usually move up. So, all around, buy the dip is still there, and the dip is not that big or scary. So whatever you've been doing, you should continue doing.
You sound a little bit more concerned, Nick. You sound a little bit more like you're not like is like, well, you need to buy the dip. You're not, you don't seem as convicted this week. How come? I listened to your video on Friday, and I don't know. Little trepidation, Nick. What is it you're seeing? Is it the small caps falling apart? Really, what is it? Why are you so concerned today?
Maybe I'm just tired. I worked on my carburetor last night and I failed. So
where
maybe
do
that's
you
it.
Buy your parts?
Where'd
at?
You buy the auto parts?
Online, of course.
He bought them online. He just threw a whole. He just threw the. I
lured
the
whole
segment.
My
thesis there.
I was Amazon, saying
because people
Amazon.
Want to fix their cars now, they go into these auto parts stores as opposed to buying them online. You bought it, what did you buy? Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon for sure.
You're the cause of all these auto parts.
No, listen, but
I
bought it from a mom and pop shop who happens to have to run their store on Amazon. Amazon is a consignment store mostly. So they don't, it's not like they stock the parts. I just bought it and it came from some store in Bloomfield or something like that. So it's just, I just happened to find it online at Amazon.
All right.
Bloomfield, Michigan?
Yeah, I think so. I have to look into my receipt, but it's just a carb clean kit. So, and a rebuild kit, I should say. So, and I have bought more auto parts and it's all been online except for the really big stuff that you have to see and touch. And that's about it.
Nick, just, you know, to segue a little bit away from the stocks and stuff, you're a real car enthusiast. Your racer Nick is your handle and stuff. And you, what are you working on now? I know you have some pretty unique cars. What are you working on?
This is an oldie. This is a 72 International Harvester. It's a, the truck model is 1110, so it's a huge. And it's very clunky, 0 to 60. It should say, you know, yes, eventually, maybe, you know, top speed is like 65. But it's cool. It's still a car. There's no computer. You don't need the tester on it. It's just a motor and a few pedals. And it's just a decent way to teach my son. Actually, he's teaching me on how to fix a car. So
let's go to car companies here. Tesla, boy, I mean, you talk about a whole number. 300 has been a nice level here since it's had the report. And shown a couple good head fakes yesterday. Dennis looking for the two-day move after that rally to fill the earnings gap up to 320. Is Tesla out of the woods here?
Well, technically, it's frisky. Yesterday's close was kind of important. You know, if you follow trend lines, it's trying to break out of a descending higher low, lower high trend line, and establish a nice base, like you said. And Elon, of course, came out with a perfect, you know, something that'll blow our minds. So, you know, bring out your tinfoil hats. I'm not sure that the semi is going to be that exciting. I do have a note on Tesla. I have a friend who immediately jumped on and paid his $1,000 to book a Model 3. And last week, he ended up buying a Chevy Bolt. You know, not to compare the two cars. I'm sure I'm going to get somebody says, oh, they're not comparable, this and that. I don't care. What I care about is that this is a guy who had his money given to Elon, and Elon wrinkled it and threw it back in his face. And I said, no, I'm not going to give you a car. So he said, well, then screw you. I'm going to buy a GM.
Did he get his grand back?
I'm sure he did, okay. But I didn't ask him. I mean, they can't keep your money unless it was a non-refundable deposit, and I don't think 400,000 people would do that. But.
Okay, you never know. All right, so let's move on. You said you were talking about TLT here, and just to back it up, you said there's certain components that you look at in the morning just kind of shape your thoughts for the day. You said crude, gold, and TLT. Now those are big indicators in the market. Tell us why you filed the TLT for some of our newer listeners and the implications for today's trading.
Well, now less so than before, but the TLT is a gauge for risk. So if the VIX is broken and doesn't tell you that there's a fear, if something happens in the world, money, the bonds are the safe haven of old. So money runs into them to hide. And especially if that event happens in overseas. So if something breaks outside of the U.S., money comes pouring into our bonds, which drives a TLT price up and the rates down. So that used to be a gauge of fear. So if the mechanics of it were something breaks, TLT spikes. So if you see markets are faltering a little bit, and you should see strength in the TLT. So I'm looking at the futures of it, and it looks up like 0.2%. So this morning, it makes sense. Market is down a little bit, 0.2%. The TLT, the ZB, the futures are up about 0.2%. So all is happy. And I believe if I look at the VIX, futures will also be a little bit up. So it also makes sense. And let me see, the yen is also up a little bit. So they're all moving in concert. So this is the old style markets that I'm used to looking at.
Nick, I want to get your thoughts on a few earnings stocks here that are coming up this week. And we're going to get some big ones here. Wednesday, we're going to get Target and we're going to get Cisco. Let's go to Cisco first. Just take you away from the retailers for a little bit. CSCO is a tech stock that, a lot of these old school tech stocks have really taken off in the last year. Cisco is not one of them. If we really look, 2017 has started around $31. It's $33 here now. I mean, it's just been kind of hanging out here. It's really been a laggard compared to stocks, if you look like Micron or Applied Materials, or even Intel, these old school tech stocks have all blasted off in orbit. Cisco has not. What do you see for Cisco coming up? Do you like the chart? What do you see in it?
It's funny that, up 9 or 10% is like, what a loser.
It's not like up 50% or 60% some of these other
or 200%,
stocks, yeah. Or 200%.
Yeah, no. Well, it had technical upside once it breached 30%. Four-ish eyeball, like some sort of a cup and handle rounding bottom, whatever you want to call it. So I thought it would hit to go towards 36. But here it is back down at it from above. So if they can use it, that area, as a baseline from which they can go forward higher. So usually when the stock tries to rally, they hit a resistance line, and then if eventually they break through it, then they can use that line on the way down as a baseline for future higher prices. So like a platform. So they work hard to build a platform and then they try to use it. Now, if the markets in general comply and help and rally, then this is easier to do. But if the markets in general falter here for another 20, 30 points lower on the S&P, then this one will probably lose that resistance line or support line again, and it becomes resistance and they have to do the battle all over again. It just depends on how low they go, a lower low or a higher low.
Continuing on with the earnings parade, also going to get Target on Wednesday. And, we know Walmart was right up there coming up to new highs on the move and almost new all-time highs, not too far away from that. Target here has lagged Walmart quite a bit. I mean, we are significantly off the all-time high, which was way back at $85 in 2015. $60 here now. It's trading down the pre-market, probably on the TJX numbers and some of these other disappointing retailers. It's $59.53 here on the pre-market. Nick, what are your thoughts here, TGT, going into Wednesday morning's report?
Boy, what happened to TJX? It was up 1% earlier.
Hey, it just reported, and it's a disaster. Well, it's not a disaster, but the same store, the comps were flat, and they were supposed to be up 2.3%. So they're smacking it around because the comps are flat.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put Walmart in the retail bunch because for some reason Wall Street now believes that Walmart is a genius.
They're Amazon.
And they're doing something weird and different. I got to tell you, I shop at Walmart and nothing is different. The store is still the same mess it is.
Just say they're a mess. Everything's disorganized.
Yeah, but if you find what you need there, it's probably the cheapest you can buy it anywhere else. That and Costco, except Costco is not a mess. I enjoy shopping at Costco, not as much at Walmart.
Except I will tell you,
people watching is really fun at Walmart. So you see stuff.
What about the Walmart online though? And that's why it's really taken off. I bought something from Walmart online.
I bought a computer online, but it was hard. Yeah, a long time ago, but it was hard. But I knew what I needed, and I found a model there. I was like, wait, check this out, you know? And it was free delivery to store or something like that.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Free delivery to the store, and I actually saved $100 then from what it was, you know, at a comparable store. So Walmart Online had some deals.
But it wasn't easy. You know, their website was. I haven't been there in a long time.
Not as easy as Amazon.
No, Amazon, they're like, if you blink on your phone, hey, were you shopping at Amazon? Let me make it easier for you. You know, they're like hounding you all over the place, and they really make it easy. So, but other people are getting there too. eBay is just as easy, in my opinion. It's a similar experience I get on eBay and Amazon. So the Walmart story is different. So I wouldn't put TJX or Target in that bucket. And I'm looking at the last three or four reports from Target Reactions, and they're all down. And it has had a rally into it. I wouldn't hold my longs into it. I mean, this is unless they're going to tell me something outrageously good. So the easy bet is the bearish bet. But also, if you like the company and you think they will recover from a downfall, why not wait out the earnings report and set the trade after the fact? Because if they're going to puke it, then you can pick it up cheaper. If you're long the company, you can replace it. You can stock replace it. You bail out of your profits if you have them, and then you replace it with cheaper calls. This way you participate to the upside. And if it falls, you only risked a little bit, and hopefully it was house money.
We got Foot Locker earnings coming out, and Fuzzy, who made a great call on GE yesterday, he wants a bearish vertical spread going into Foot Locker earnings.
Boy, that is an ugly chart. Oh, my gosh. Well, the easy bearish spread is a debit put spread. Straight up, there are no tricks to it. What you do is you spend... If you do a dollar wide spread, I haven't looked at the options, you pay half the width of the spread that is at the money. You give yourself some time out, 2-3 weeks or a month, and then you wait. If the stock falls through the spread, you get a chance to double your money. Now, it won't be an exact double. It's just, you know, the faster it falls and the deeper it falls, the more money you make towards that double. And then you buy the spread to open, you close the spread to close it. And hopefully, if you pay 50 cents on a dollar wide spread, you can close it for 80 or 90. So if you do 10, you get the $300 on the 80 cents. So it all depends on what you want to do and how much money you want to risk. But that would be the simplest way of doing a spread, a debit put spread. Money goes out of your account to open the risk. And then to close it, you just reverse the process and sell it back out.
Nick, also, we just talked about it earlier. Best Buy is going to report on Thursday, BBY. Give us your technical thoughts on this chart.
Okay, so I don't understand the fascination with Best Buy. I have tried to shop there several times. I would go in with a wad of cash in my pocket. That one time I needed the laptop, I went in there. I was like, I am ready to buy a laptop. I'm an engineer. I know what I want. I couldn't get anybody to help me out. And the last time
Which is crazy because there's so many employees in there.
And they were standing around.
There's an employee on every corner.
They had a Best Buy table. I mean, they had a table set up at Best Buy that was for laptops. It looked great. They were standing around talking to each other, three of them. Two were in Best Buy outfits and the third one wasn't. So I don't know what the heck they were talking about, but apparently more important than selling me a laptop. But that was the last time I went to buy an Echo for Amazon. They were sold out. I didn't end up buying it there. Ended up buying a Dot because that's the only thing they had. And the person there, actually, I was ready to buy it. It was like $40 or whatever. So I picked it up. I was going to pay for it. She goes, let me see if it's cheaper online and so we can match the price for you. I was like, wait, what? So she used her phone to find it cheaper somewhere else and then forced her store.
Better mind your own company.
Yeah, forced her store to match the price for me. So I would like to chalk this up to my charm, but I don't think that was the case. So I don't know what was going on there. So anyway, perception is that they're doing stuff a little better than others and that they're sticking it to Amazon the other day coverage on CNBC. I was like, I don't think that's the case, but hey, whatever floats your boat. Technically, it's frisky. If they can beat 58, they can probably shoot for 60 plus just from a technical perspective. They have higher lows recently, banging on that 58 line. If they can beat it, maybe they can rise a little bit more. But you know that earnings is just a binary event and has nothing to do with the technicals eventually. So, you know, beware of getting sucked into a technical promise and then to be all ruined by a headline.
Nick, one more before we let you go here, unless the chat pops in with something here. Did you see the move in Hasbro yesterday of the fact that they might buy Mattel? I don't know.
We talked about it in the chat room, and we're all still puzzled as to why these days. And it's been that case for a while that you know, the buying company rises. It used to be where it fell, but I guess you know, the prospects
synergies,
of
Nick, synergies.
Well, okay,
that's what
maybe.
They say.
I don't know nothing. I know nothing about toys and the toy world, so I don't know really what's going on or what's behind the scenes. And I think it's more of a licensing issue that, you know, like the movies come out and who licensed this and who licensed that. So more than the actual business itself. So I'm not sure. I don't know the intricacies behind it, but this is definitely a contentious level. And look at the high yesterday. It's been pokes several times before, like the last earnings like a few weeks before that and then a few weeks before that. And it's a pivot point from where they fell out of bed in August. And it was a launching pad from May. So it's definitely a contentious level. I doubt that the bulls or the bears will want to let it go easily. So look for a big fight here and see what happens out of it.
All right, Nick, just final thoughts here just on the market. I mean, I have a line in the sand here in the S&P futures just from Friday's and Monday's low right there at the 2570 area. I think that holds. We're still good to go north. And then just building another major wall of resistance here. You have up really the last three or four high, well, two highs at 85.5, 85.75, and then all those highs in the 90s. So kind of big range here to chop around. Do you have any intermediate numbers in the S&P 500 we should be keeping an eye on?
I do. I'll make it visual for you. What happens when this happens? You get a squeeze. You got lower highs, higher lows coming into a point. What's going to happen? Pick your direction. So,
nice.
I know a lot of technicians that expect to see 2545 to get tested. It's in the books as far as technically speaking, but all of them say if that happens, 2600 plus coming at it thereafter. So when you see a dip, here's what I'm doing. I'm not chasing it with brand new shorts, because if you buy the effing dip and you see a dip, you know, they're going to buy it unless the thesis changes, and the thesis has not changed. Everything that Trump promised is still iffy. Nothing is dead. So they're going to buy the dip. It's just a matter of when. So don't chase it too late.
We've been on the line with Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Joins the show every Tuesday at 8:35. Give us insights, fundamental and technical, into the markets. Nick, great speaking with you as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
Can't wait. Talk to you later.
S&P futures are two ticks off the low of the session, 75.25. We will see if that pre-market low holds just like it did yesterday, rally back up into the 2580 handle. Dennis, any earnings that we missed, any earnings that we want to preview for tomorrow, or any significant ratings changes?
There's a couple significant ratings changes here. Let's go Coca-Cola here. First of all, it's getting upgraded at Wells Fargo here today. Spencer, what was that to? Was that an outperform, or what was the rating change up to?
Yeah, let me pull it up on my pro here.
It
was raised to outperform and a price target increase from $45 to $51.
All right. This is all about
$47.
there is a boatload in the book. And this is the same setup as four, the same setup. When you get a brick wall like this, it's got to take it out. It goes 4701, takes all that out. It gets interesting to the upside. But I'll tell you, this morning, there was over 250,000 shares to sell 47. That's a huge order for even Coke. So it's going to take a lot of money to push it through that price. And it's opening up, you know, into that resistance, but it's going to have to open up 28 cents, which is a big move for Coke as well. I've actually shorted some Coke up there in the 90s just because I don't think it can get through it. Maybe it does. If it gets through it, I cover. So I don't want to play games with being short if it's above 47. As long as it stays below 47, the shorts are in control at this level.
And also the whoops trade, right? When it blows through 47, goes to 47.03, and then someone comes back down and locks it down at 47.
Sometimes, yeah, they refresh.
Yeah, they refresh. Yeah, to get it done. That's an all-time high for Coca-Cola at 47.13.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to – yeah, it is.
Wow, Coke all the way back. Yeah. Wow.
Hey, when Warren Buffett drinks 6 Coca-Colas a day.
I'm telling you, if Warren Buffett, you know, he's getting older there. If Warren Buffett ever leaves this planet, you're going to lose 6 Cokes a day there.
And now they have
Coke. You think you really drink 6 Cokes a day?
That's what he said on the documentary.
I know he said it. He said he drinks 6 Coca-Colas a day. How old is he? Google how old he is. That's impressive to live that long drinking 6 Cokes a day. Maybe. I watched that Super Size Me movie when they were eating the McDonald's 3 times a day, and that guy really got sick in a hurry.
He's 87.
He's 87 years old. He's drank 6 Cokes a day. Maybe that's the whole key to life. But you know what? I'm going to say, you know, maybe he's just it's just, you know, luck here for him, because I did this science experiment in grade 5, and it was like feeding your plants different types of drinks. I had 6 plants. Fed the one plant water, fed the one plant like apple juice, fed the one plant
maple syrup.
Didn't feed the one plant anything, so it got no water. And one plant got beer, which I got from my dad because I was only like 10 years old. And the other plant I fed Coke to. Which plant do you think did the worst?
The Coke plant?
The Coke plant did worse than the one that didn't get any water at all. The Coke plant was fried, man. It was like a mess. There was nothing left of the Coke plant.
There was nothing there.
Did okay. The one that got no water did better than the one that got the Coke.
Rate exchange. I guess RBC, they're kind of souring on GE here. What do they do? They downgrade that, or
the party on this one?
Well, you know what though? The analysts seem to differ, and maybe we'll see some follow through in the next couple of days. But GE's got a mix of ratings. RBC getting downgraded this morning. Or GE getting downgraded at RBC this morning, but you also have Bank America maintaining their buy. They're just lowering their price target by $4. And you've got some buy ratings on the street on GE. You've got some sell ratings too, but you've got some buy ratings as well. So we'll see what happens here.
Mixed bag of GE. To me, I
201,000 to sell too in balance. So your institutional sellers are back. They're selling. It's down a nickel here in the pre-market. It's been just playing around here. Volume's, you know, 898,000 shares already traded. It's going to trade some crazy volume here again today. You know, just watch, you know, what I would say is you want to watch for like a double bottom potential. It takes out 1875. I think it could go to 18 bucks. So if it holds 1875, then, you know, potentially that double bottom's in place. That's where I would be. That's my bogey for today, though. If I'm day trading this, I'm watching that 1875 level.
All right, you just mentioned that GE imbalance. Do we have any other notable imbalance?
Alibaba, 70,000 to sell. That's the first time we've seen a sell imbalance in Alibaba in a while. So BABA, what do you think on the BABA chart here? We're just kind of hanging out here for too long now, not looking as healthy as it once was.
If you sell $25 billion in one day over the singles day and your stock doesn't go up, I mean, I know it's good anticipation, point. A big run. I mean, I just think – it looks a little tired. It looks a little tired to me. Let's see how it's trading in the pre-market. I mean, that's just gauging news on, you know, how the stock reacts. Of course, you know, you've had a tremendous run on this. Your three-day low is really what I would keep an eye on. And I'm talking maybe if I was even a longer-term investor. 181.05, that's your three-day low. Haven't been below that. 181 since October 31st. If not, I don't think you'll see a lot of bids until you get into the 177 handle. Your low on October 30th was 177.59. All right, Spencer, 8:59 and 30 seconds here. You want to wrap up today's show and let us know what's on the docket for tomorrow?
I will. Were there any other big imbalances besides GE and Baba, Dennis?
$477,000 to sell. Bank of America, $67,000 to sell. Walmart's $10,000 to buy. Walmart, we didn't talk about, but they had that little deal they had with what was the headline there, Spencer? Well, they're going to sell somebody else's products in the stores, higher end stuff.
They're increasing their prices on Walmart.com. That's the headline that I saw.
There was also another headline, too, last night. They talked about it on Fast Money. They're going to sell. It's like from 4 o'clock last night, so maybe just didn't go back far enough there. I'll just grab it for you. Where was it? They're going to sell Lord & Taylor.
Oh, that's right. I did see that, right.
You know, that's interesting too. So I was actually popping up a little bit last night. Walmart's just hot right now. $92 from Train Walmart. That's major resistance for it.
All right. As far as tomorrow's show, we're going to be joined by Jeff Hirsch. He is the author of the Stock Trader's Almanac, started by his father from way back in the day. Jeff will join us to give us a breakdown of what he's looking at in the markets right now. If you wanted to catch any part of our show again, you can listen to our podcast, which is on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, or by going to youtube.com/BenzingaTV, where our show airs live. Thank you to all of our listeners who are in our live chat today at premarket.benzinga.com, and to a couple of you who were in the live chat on the YouTube as well. But that's it for our show today. Thanks again to Nick Shaheen for joining us. Have a good rest of your day, everyone, and we'll be back with you on Wednesday.